In the coming lectures, we're going to spend a certain amount of time on looking at what is the maturity of the church, where is the church going? And it is for this reason. There is a very specific place all this is taking us to. I should say this, that what is going on in history, the reformation of the church to date, the last 500 years, and the reformation of the next 100 years, is all work of the Holy Spirit toward a goal, toward a purpose in history. The church is being moved progressively from where it was to a very great place in history. And the church's life is being brought to a greater state of grace. I'll be discussing that state of grace called maturity in our next lecture. What is the maturity of the church? What is this Holy Spirit and apostolic activity all designed to bring about? This is hugely important. But before we go there, just finishing tonight, I need to take you back and give you some insight into Reformation to date, what it was and why it's so important. Martin Luther is the person who sparked a reformation of the church. The truth is there was much that led up to Luther, and he was the person the Lord used to light a fire that then transformed history. And it's an amazing story and a wonderful story. And there are many other reformers that then arose, and all of that is worthy of extensive study. But for our purpose, all we're recognizing is that those reformers restored to the church a true doctrine of faith and grace and salvation and many other important doctrines. The doctrine that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, was restored to us by those reformers. The doctrine of the priesthood of all believers, that every believer was a priest before God, was restored to us by those reformers and many other important doctrines. And so what was given back to the church was a body of truth. And that body of truth has held fast all this time, and it is our body of truth. Those reformers are our reformers. The truth they discovered is our truth, and we cling to it, and there is no sense in which in this apostolic reformation of the church we are changing any of the established doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures is our sole authority for faith and practice, and we believe as they did. But what they did not reform was the way in which these doctrines were applied and lived out in the life of the church. And it was not theirs to do that. The time was not right. In fact, if we look at the last 500 years history, there were many other things along the way that the Lord added back into the church that they did not add. And I give you just two examples for the sake of brevity. All this would require a much bigger study, but we're hastening toward our goal of trying to understand the apostolic days we live in. But for brevity, two examples. 200 years after those reformers, God raised another man called John Wesley, and another era in change in both the church and the world. And what Wesley brought to us that the earlier reformers did not bring was the evangelical nature of the gospel, that you could preach whosoever will may be saved. You could offer the gospel to individuals. You could invite people. The kind of thing that we take for granted all the time. The kind of thing that we take for granted in public preaching and personal witness. The kind of thing that Billy Graham made famous in his day. John Wesley brought that to the church 200 years after the reformers, what we call the evangelical nature of the gospel. John Wesley also brought in for our benefit, a far more advanced understanding of the holy life, the life of holiness that every Christian was called to, and how the power of the Holy Spirit was given to enable us to overcome sin in our lives and to grow in our sanctification. And so, as time went on, what I'm saying is the gospel didn't change, the great doctrines didn't change, but their application in the church had to be learned and developed, and cultural change had to take place in the church. If we go 200 years further on from John Wesley, we come to the modern Pentecostal movement beginning just over 100 years ago. On Azusa Street, the story is famous. A preacher preaching the baptism of the Spirit with speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. And within about 2 weeks of him preaching this consistently, the Holy Spirit begins to fall. And so the modern Pentecostal movement was born. It was strong and powerful, although for a long while rejected and held at arm's length by all the traditional forms of Christianity. But in time, many of those embraced it as well, and thus we had the charismatic movement. Here we have, in the last 100 years, a major, major move of the Holy Spirit in history. It is very significant progress of the church. Christianity all over the world has been totally transformed, as much by the Pentecostal movement as it was by these previous movements. And I want you to be able to see in your mind's eye how all of this is one thing following another, the work of the Holy Spirit building on a previous work. So we've had the last 100 years has been a great work, and now all over the world, some 450 or 500 million Christians claim a Pentecostal experience of the faith, not necessarily in classic Pentecostal terms, but in terms of their experience of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, functioning in gifts of the Spirit, having the kind of holy inspiration that's introduced. But at the same time, this thinking and understanding has also informed the rest of the church and brought the church everywhere into more freedom in worship, more liberty in prayer, the expressing of more faith in prayer, more authority in prayer, more personal victory being sought in people's lives, breakthroughs everywhere. And interestingly, the same 100 years, which was the great advance of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church worldwide, has been the great advance of the gospel worldwide. The parallels are not often drawn. I've not heard anybody in public ministry draw it. This is an immediate parallel, but there it is. That at the same time you have this outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church, and the church coming into renewal, so to speak, and gifts of the Spirit, you have all over the world an explosion of the gospel. So that absolutely huge numbers of people who were formerly not Christian are now Christian, all through Africa, all through Asia, all through South America, now doubling back through Europe. We see the most amazing advance of the church, so that in terms of population, the number of people in the world who were Christian by confession in the year 1900 was 1 in 27, but by 1990 was 1 in 7, and by the year 2014 was almost 1 in 3. That 100 years represented an amazing transformation of the nations as a whole and of human history as a whole, as well as of the church. And I want you to see that the church is not going backwards and history is not declining. In fact, the whole world is going somewhere. And one of the great subjects we must address in the next lecture or two is that hand in hand with good apostolic doctrine is also good eschatology, a victorious view of the purpose of the gospel in the world and a victorious eschatology. These are one and the same. They go hand in hand with proper apostolic doctrine for the church. And you will see what I mean as we develop those themes. So what I've shown you is that in the last 500 years, there's been a process of reformation going on that has never ceased. It's not like we had a series of separate revivals that added something in. You will find, in fact, there's been a huge work, a continuous work of the Spirit of God in history. And we now come to this place where we are now. And the next phase, opening up, it has already been opening up, has been this whole apostolic reformation of the church.